Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning, it's 7:07. Glad you're with us. It's Thursday. Is it time to go to war? The United States of America still commands the world's most powerful military, so far as we know. We also know that we have additional U.S. Army troops headed to the country of Kuwait in the aftermath of a mass execution committed in the Sinai Peninsula, executing Egyptian Christians at the hands of the Islamic State. You're with us earlier this week. John Stonestreet on the Breakpoint program brought to us a very pointed editorial commentary segment suggesting that indeed there is a time to go to war, and this may be yet another one of them. He joins us on our guest line. John Stonestreet, welcome back to our program in Faith Radio. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Austin. Thanks for having me on.
The commentary scheduled on Monday's broadcast could not have been more well-timed. I mentioned on the live broadcast after your commentary that you probably recorded that and wrote it and produced it prior to the horrific news over the last weekend with the Egyptian Christians being slaughtered. But the timing was poignant, unfortunately. Tell us what went through your mind, what you experienced in your heart and mind when you saw this news over the weekend.
Well, it's just more of the same that we've been seeing now for an awful long time. And it's a situation that is growing, that is getting worse, and that is the kind of the power of ISIS and the level of barbarism that we haven't seen even from Al-Qaeda and other places. And what's difficult about it is, again, throughout the entire Middle East, we have some of the ancient Christian communities. I mean, these are communities that go back to the very first century after Christ. Last year at the Colson Center, our Wilberforce Award winner was Canon Andrew White, often called the Vicar of Baghdad. And here we're talking about, seriously, perhaps the oldest Christian community on the planet. Mm-hmm. It was during the initial Iraqi invasion, the government took the U.S. troops, the American government took pretty great care to protect some of these, ancient church buildings, the artwork, the icons, that sort of thing. After now this, our withdrawal, now that ISIS has gone through, this community is literally on the brink of extinction. Mm-hmm. And that's not us saying that. That's the Archbishop of the ancient Catholic Chaldean Church, Bashar Warda, has said that as well. And Canon White has kept us up to speed through his blog post and other things as well. It's a desperate situation there for the Christians, and we think it's time. Somebody's got to do something.
Agreed. What that something is and who that somebody is, I guess, is what remains to be determined. John Stonestreet with the Breakpoints organization. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. You made the case in your commentary, John, that indeed, as I pointed out just a few moments ago, the United States of America still has the most robust, powerful fighting force that we know that exists on the planet, and it can be used for good forces and good purposes, I should say. You also pointed out that Americans are very war weary. A lot of us have had our spouses, our siblings, our parents, our nieces and nephews and sons and daughters go off to faraway places. Some of them never made it back. Others of them came back with permanent damage to their lives, shall we say, and we're really not sure what all that has accomplished. Put that all together for us and tell us what you believe the United States of America needs to play in terms of a role to squash this evil that's triumphing around the world.
Well, gosh, putting all that together, that's the incredibly difficult job of those that are in charge of our military and our president. I mean, think about having to make that call. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're making a decision not on behalf of yourself or even your country, but others, but civilians and everything else. But, this was, I think there's a couple things at work here. Number one is that And then we ended military operations there in Iraq. But obviously, the sort of thing we were trying to end isn't over. What we have now are some genocidal-like conditions. And we've seen that so often over the last 100 years in different communities around the world, whether we're talking about Rwanda or Sudan or other places, where there, literally people are going, basically being killed off, in mass numbers. So we've got that going on, and we know that in times like these, somebody has to intervene. The other thing, too, is that it's quite clear that this meets the, on a Christian level, meets the kind of the classic understanding of what's called just war doctrine. Now, in Ecclesiastes, we read there is a time for war, there is a time for peace. We never want there to be a time for war, and we've been in the midst of it now for such a long, long time. We are war weary. One of the reasons we're war weary is because when Americans go to war, we go under a just war sort of framework, where we don't allow civilians to be casualties if we can actually help it. I'm not saying we always do that perfectly. We certainly, and maybe not even well, but we're not just going in and leveling places, and we're using resources and troops and so on to rebuild after we, after we go through. And there's all kinds of ways that slow the entire process down. We are war weary. There's absolutely no question about it, and that's what makes this so difficult. But right now there's no way we can call ISIS up and say, hey, we're kind of war weary. Can you just put your barbaric massacres on hold until we're in a little better shape? That's not the way these things go. And can we really sit by as this sort of thing happens? I tell you, Austin, one of the guys that I am taking cues from, one of the guys who I always respected the most in Congress was former Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia. He was somebody that Chuck Colson called, somebody he respected more than anybody else in the political process. He was the winner of the Wilberforce Award maybe a decade ago. And he has joined a new project called the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative. And they issued a report, and that really got our attention at the Colson Center. We pay attention to anything Frank Wolf says. And the report is called Edge of Extinction, The Plight of Iraqi Christians. And that's what he did, echoing the call of these Iraqi Christian clerics, please come help us, please do something, why hasn't anyone come, sort of thing, that he called for the same sort of military intervention. And so we're taking a big cue from that. And I'd love to point people to our Breakpoint website, where they can, and that commentary, which again aired on Monday,
right?
And they can also find that 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative as well.
John Stonestreet from the Breakpoint program. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. John, in the midst of this, we find ourselves at a point in American history where, and this, what I'm about to say here, I think this cuts across all demographics in our culture, and certainly is not specific to one political side of the aisle, not to the left, not to the right. It cuts across it all. There is a phrase that is common and on the lips of many, and it simply says something to the effect of, hey, we can't be the world's policeman. We can't fight every war. This is not our war to fight. We can't do it all. Let's bring the troops home and stop this. We've caused problems around the world because we've been too interventionist with our military. In fact, you kind of addressed that on some limited level in your commentary. How do you respond to the person that says, we just can't do this, John? As much as you're making the case to say we need to save the existence of Christianity in these very historic regions of the world, there are plenty of people who say it's not our deal. How do you react to that?
Well, I mean, it's none of this is clear and easy. So I don't want to pretend like, when we wrote this, that this is the clear, easy 3-step path to, the ending of the barbarism. There's no way it's like that. It never has been. I think that there can be a lot of, important conversation around how much of this we created for ourselves. And kind of the preemptive Bush doctrine and so on, and that stuff that's going to be debated for a long time. But a couple things on that. The first is we can't go back and pretend that the last decade didn't happen. It did happen. We can't go back. I mean, if we did create the situation that is here, and I think it probably had as much to do with the withdrawal too early as it did the start. Mm-hmm. But you can't pretend like it's a world that it's not the way that it is. It is. The world is now the way that it is because of those things that happened. So we got to deal with what's the phrase? You got to deal with the cards that you're dealt with, right? That's what we have. If we had something to do with those cards, then that needs to be addressed at some level, but it doesn't change the reality of what's going on the ground. Secondly, this isn't a policeman sort of situation. This is a protection. There is literally nothing these folks can do. And what we're seeing, for example, with the barbarism of ISIS, I mean, the sheer terror, there's really a choice to run. I mean, the numbers that have been lost a decade ago, the Christian population in Iraq was at 1.5 million. Today, it's about 300,000. Mm-hmm. And not only has, way more than half the population, almost a third of the population then, or two-thirds of the population been essentially wiped out. But the ones that remain are now without opportunities, right? I mean, jobs, schools, places of worship, a lot of these things have been desecrated as well.
Right.
This is a shocking situation. Can we legitimately say we should do nothing? And I think there's a huge difference between going and policing the world because they're not doing what we want them to do. I think that was some of the Woodrow Wilson doctrine. We need to go make the world a safe place for democracy. Let's go give you our democracy and so on. And this all proved to be quite problematic. But I tell you, what's quite clear is the choice between life and death is what's going on here. This isn't a choice, of policing the world. It's really of protecting our neighbors. And then the last thing I'll add to this, Austin, is we all know that the ISIS threat, I mean, the goal of the ISIS movement is the global caliphate. It's not going to stay in the Middle East, and it's growing stronger, and it's becoming much more effective, and it's terrorizing other nations. So we've got, Jordan going on, Jordan, you mentioned Egypt, here we have Iraq and Syria. Right. I mean, it's spreading, and it's spreading fast. I'm not sure we want to wait to meet this challenge when it comes to our soil.
And with that, let's continue in just a moment, talk about those life and death challenges and some of the other stark realities that you're pinpointing for us, John. It's John Stone Street on our guest line. You hear him regularly with the Breakpoint program. We'll continue our conversation in just moments. This is Austin Hill in the Morning. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. It's now 7:22 from the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. It's a life or death situation for many Christians and, quite frankly, many Jews in other parts of the world. That is the threat that is being posed by the Islamic State, oftentimes referred to in an acronym as ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. John Stone Street from the Breakpoints organization. He is on our guest line here on Faith Radio talking about this. You noted a few moments ago, John, that indeed one by one, we've seen other nations of the world step up and get real sober and real serious, real fast, usually after their nation has been hit with an Islamic State terrorist attack. We've seen it happen, I'd like to think, in the UK and in France. We've seen it happen in Australia. We've seen it happen in the country of Jordan, now with Egypt. When does the United States sober up and get so serious, would you say? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, and that's, I think, what we're calling for. And I think there's certainly a lot more attention being given this, than we can. I mean, I don't agree with a whole lot that this president has done and continues to do, but I certainly see the tension of, having just come out of Afghanistan and Iraq and trying to figure out now, okay, are we going to go back? I live in Colorado Springs, right by Fort Carson. Mm-hmm. I saw the toll in our own community of, soldiers coming back. There was, a Pulitzer Prize-winning article that was written in our hometown newspaper here about PTSD and what was happening at Fort Carson.
And now you've got more troops from Fort Carson being dispatched over to
that's
Kuwait.
Right. Yeah, right. That's exactly right. And so, I mean, the government is picking it up and paying attention and sending more people and mobilizing and asking for, you know, more than airstrikes. And so that this is happening. And, I hope that what's going to take place is very clear objectives, very clear targets. And I'll tell you, one of the things that troubles me is how we often are so quick to talk about ISIS as if it's, you know, a political ideology or something less than it is, which is, you know, the deepest held beliefs that humans have are their metaphysical ones, their religious mm-hmm. ones, their what they believe to be true about morality and the afterlife and God and truth, and that's what we're dealing with here, is a very specific branch of Islam has claimed entire allegiances. I think in some of our past conflicts with radical Islam, we've failed to understand the depth of commitment, and, you know, I don't know if we thought we could talk them out of it or what, but, you know, this is deep stuff, and so I hope we go in there with that sort of understanding.
It strikes me that at times in the evangelical Christian community, in particular, John Stone Street, the conversation doesn't go much beyond the debates. Is this Islam or is it not Islam? And most Muslims don't think and believe and feel this way and don't do these things. And that's kind of where the discussion ends. Our government says the Islamic State is neither Islamic nor is it a state. It is an ideology. Does there need to be more thoughtful conversation in that regard?
Absolutely. I mean, there does. And it is a tension. I mean, I think, you know, we are kind of dealing with a cultural backlash against the fear that 9/11 created for Americans, where we did want to, you know, chalk everybody up to a radical. And, you know, I've got some really good friends doing some remarkable work in the Islamic world, measuring, first of all, the work of the Holy Spirit and bringing people to Christ. I mean, my friend Dave Garrison, a Southern Baptist missiologist, has documented that 80% of the movements of the Holy Spirit to draw large people, large portions within an Islamic cultural center to himself and to faith in Christ and to baptism, 80% of all his movements have happened in the last 20 years. I mean, so there's remarkable stories coming out of this, you know, of Islamic clerics and, you know, thousands of, you know, of people, you know, within a short period of time coming to Christ. So, you know, this is not a panic, you know, sort of thing, though, to say then that ISIS holds to a version of Islamic ideology and radicalism that is just, and it's deeply spiritual. There is deeply committed to it and so on. Which one is the more honest Muslim? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. Which one is following more closely to the Quran? These are things that are, I think are worth knowing. But listen, you know, there's a difference between the loyalties of someone, you know, like in a Nazi Germany situation, mm-hmm. where it's a political thing. It's kind of this fantasy life that people are trying to recover, you know, from an embarrassment like Germans were after World War One, you know, versus the most deeply held beliefs that people have about themselves and about morality and about truth and about God. And so that's the conversation I think that we need to have going in.
John Stone Street from the Breakpoint Program and the Chuck Colson Center. Some thoughts on where we go from here. And perhaps it is time for war to save Christianity in the Middle East. John, as always, thanks very much for being here. We look forward to speaking again soon.
God bless you, Austin. Thank you, sir.
7:28 Central Time. Breakpoint on the way next from Faith Radio. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.